Welcome to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe for free always at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, on with the show.
Please listen carefully.
Ready or Not is a horror film that came out this year, and a lot of people are talking about it, saying it's one of the best of the year anyway, and I don't know if I can really argue with that. I'd have to look at a list, which I haven't done yet, but that's not really what I'm here to say. I just finished watching it, so I thought I'd make a couple comments about the film rather than try and fit them in between Twitters. It opens up in the year 1989, and it's inside the Les Domas mansion. The siblings Daniel and Alex are running around while being followed by a man. And of course, that man is going through the process that the family calls a game, where when an in-law person comes in to the family and they are married, then they have to play a game. And if they pick the game of a certain game, then that is like the Druid Satan worship game, and the person who has come into the family must be killed. I know this is a highly beloved film, so I don't want to tear it up, but I do want to say that I think the backstory is really bad writing. I had a hard time getting into it whenever they would refer to it in terms of Satan worship or, you know, some druid curse that's on the family, and as a result, they must kill the person that's coming into the family. I think what they really wanted to do was make a really fun horror action comedy, and they wanted to make it against the feeling of in-laws, which, you know, personally, I got lucky, I like my in-laws, but a lot of people don't like their in-laws, and they have that deep-seated, gotta get through Thanksgiving, gotta get through Christmas, gotta get through these events, that kind of permeates their entire life. And certainly their marriage. So I think that they just wanted to tap into that and make it almost like a vengeance horror. But they felt that everybody would kind of get behind the whole in-laws thing. And if you look at the last line of the film, then you see it kind of rings true for what I'm talking about. As always, there are spoilers in my reviews. So if that bothers you, you haven't seen the film, you should probably go see it. Then come back and listen to what I have to say about it. Well, 30 years later, after that little vignette of how the chase works, Alex, he's getting married to a woman named Grace. She's played by Samara Weaving, and she really does a great job. It's amazing because her face kind of looked small to me, almost like an extremely young girl's face, until all the blood and the gore happened and her hair was all sticking out, and then she, you know, then she looked age appropriate. But she has kind of a small face, and that she's very pretty, but she does have a kind of small face that really comes out, and you see her as more of an equal to everybody else's face when she gets her the horror starts being visited upon her. But Alex is getting married. Alex, I didn't like Alex from the beginning, and I had my doubts about Alex. Turns out I was right. I love it when I'm right on these types of things in horror movies. But he was marrying Grace, and she's nervous but eager to join his family's gaming dominion, which is how they came about their enormous wealth. Just to say one more time, I think the backstory of this sort of satanic, it shows itself to be satanic later because they start saying Hail Satan all over the place. But I think the backstory is very weak. I think if they wanted to create a horror film, horror action comedy film, which is a good, this is a good film, don't get me wrong. So I'm kind of nitpicking here, but for me it was kind of a big deal. It prevented me from getting into it 100% because it was such a stupid backstory. But I would say, just to give you an idea maybe of a possibility that it could have been, that I think would have been better, would have been a more realistic situation, maybe even a mental illness of an uncle or someone in the family, maybe in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when the old grandpa, you know, he gets to lick the blood of the girl they're going to sacrifice. Maybe something like that might have worked better for me. But to just take people from 2019 that are getting married and have them just wholeheartedly give themselves to this ridiculous kind of backstory, I didn't really like it. But like I said, the last line was cool, and then also what started happening in the final act was also very cool. And I will say that even though I took a bunch of notes that where I wanted to kind of go after the plot, in the last act, some ridiculous things happen. Well, I'll just say what happened, since you already know, because I already told you there were spoilers. But if you don't know and you're being brave, I'll just tell you too. You know, they start blowing up one by one, exploding, and blood goes everywhere. And that was quite hilarious to me, because I sort of became a little bit more forgiving about the plot, because I thought, okay, you've got this way far-fetched druid satanic plot in this regular marriage thing. Okay, that's a little hard to take. But then they went all the way with it in the end, and it was true. And when she didn't die, they all started blowing up, because that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid if they don't kill this interloper, this in-law, the fiance, the wife, really, they get married in the movie. So if they don't kill this new wife, then they will all die. And they never say how. At one point, one of the sons says, "It's not real, Dad. This can't be real, Dad." And he says, "Oh, it's real. You believe it. We're going to die unless we kill her." And then he's like, "Well, how do you know that?" And he's all, "Do you remember the Sendersons? The Sendersons, yeah. Remember their house burned down?" He said, "That's what they wanted you to think, that their house burned down. But really, no, they died because the curse was not assuaged," or something like that. So, yeah, they give a lot of that ridiculousness, but then toward the end, it's such a ridiculous thing how they're just blowing up and funny that it almost covers over for it. But I would say if they did something else that was more realistic, like maybe somebody in the family really didn't like her, or somebody in the family had kind of an unrealistic fear of her, something like that. But to just say that the family's always going to get together when someone marries someone, play a game, if they pull the card of she must be killed, then they all kill, I had a little bit of a hard time with that. But maybe it's because I don't watch a lot of comedic horror. I mostly watch kind of like realistic horror, or at least I have been for the last couple of years. I'm not really into comedic horror, but you know, pretty soon I may have to be, because I'm running out of horror to watch. I've seen just about all of it. So Grace goes through all the things that you would imagine she would go through trying to get away from her new psycho family. And again, I think that the writers were... See, you have to remember, people who write movies, not so much horror movies, but just movies nowadays, they have to assume a certain demographic is watching. They have to assume a certain audience, and then they have to write to that audience, and they have to appeal to that audience, because if they don't get the bodies in the seats or the streaming paid for into the living room, they're just not going to make it as a movie, and that movie's going to flop. So I think that's what they did with this. They took a gamble. They said, hey, everybody hates their in-laws, or at least there's all these jokes we could say about in-laws everybody would identify, so let's put the in-law thing into there. And that's what they did. But I think they just went a little bit too far talking about some satanic ritual that requires this family to kill in-laws that come into the family if they pick the wrong card. So I'll give them that. At least they didn't say they had to do it every marriage, only when they pick that card. And they do say that that card hardly ever got picked. But then again, there is the beginning opening vignette where I just talked about at the beginning of the podcast that, you know, the two boys are trying to help this guy who's been the target, and at this time it's a man. So anyway, let's get back to the plot, because I think the plot is good. It's just that one thing I didn't really like. So you have the basic things that you would expect, at least that I expected, which kind of made it lose points with me. I loved the gore. There was a lot of gore. When the girl got her head shot in half, that was... you don't see gore like that very much these days. The other thing was when she was squeezing through those old haunted house type wrought iron bars, and she just cut into her leg. That was so intense. I almost felt that. It was pretty good, pretty well done. So there's a lot of gore. I think they threw the gore in with the comedy to make it exciting. The story is okay, but the gore worked. Believe it or not, the gore worked. One cool scene is when Grace trades her heels for her tennis shoes, and then you know something's going to be happening. It's going to turn into an action film, and you know she's not going to die. I mean, come on, be real. Everybody knows she's not going to die. So when there's scene after scene where she's on the verge of dying, you kind of go, okay, let's get through this one. So that was kind of not good. It's sort of predictable. They could have written that better too, I thought. But yeah, Grace finds a rifle. Now she's badass. She's got plenty of ammo. Now she's taken prisoner. Well, she's not taking any prisoners. She's just killing people. And you get basically that for a very long time. She climbs up ladders. Ladders start breaking under her feet. It's a very intense movie. And don't think that it's a comedy, because it's not really a comedy, but there is like a dark comic aspect. Okay, toward the end, they put Grace on an altar. At that point, I got up to make myself some more coffee, because frankly, I found that kind of boring. I mean, we've seen that a lot, and I mean, it just reminded me of The Exorcist, reminded me of any kind of satanic movie, horror movie, and but not done right, because it's a comedy. You can't really make a comedy when you're bringing that stuff into it. That's just not scary in a comedy. That's what I thought anyway. But she's very beautiful. I think that movie has that going for it. I hate her fiance. I think you're supposed to hate him. And in the end, Grace exits the burning mansion, now covered in blood. She sits on the steps to smoke a cigarette, just as police and paramedics arrive. An officer asks Grace what the hell happened, to which she simply replies, "In-laws." So to close, I think it's a very fun movie. I think if you see the previews, you know exactly what you're going to get, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's not trying to be all mysterious, but it could have used a little bit of more human writing of why a family would do this. I think that it would be a better movie, and they still could have their comedy because the in-law thing is so universal. But for me, I'm going to let it live. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I'm not going to go all the way up to a 7 out of 10, though. I'm going to give it a 6. And those are my thoughts, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe always for free at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, have a great day.